Hello. Let me get a little more monitor over here. Just turn the overall volume up.
Okay. Hello.
All right. How's everybody? Lord Jesus, we come today. We ask for your blessing over this time, Father. We consecrate these moments to you. God, we pray in this next song, God, our how much we need you. How much we're dependent on you. God, we pray that you would soften our hearts, open our eyes, help us to see you, how you're at work, help us to hear how you've been speaking all along. God, we just pray for your presence here today, God, to be noticeable. God, that our hearts would awaken to your love and your mercy and your acceptance of us. God, that you've been pursuing us. God, that you would just slow our hearts today, God, to be able to hear and accept and receive. In your name we pray, amen. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. You, I fall apart, you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, is found, Lord, where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh. So our world, our culture teaches a message of independence, self-reliance. But the beauty of the gospel, it brings us back to a place where we actually are in need. We actually are at a place where we have to receive. And that's not weakness, to admit that we need Jesus, that we need his voice in our lives. We need his leadership. We need him to father us is actually a place of great strength. Some of the greatest men in history knew who Jesus was and knew that they needed him and knew that they needed him to father them and to love them. And that's a beautiful place to be. Sometimes in our lives we overcomplicate things. Sometimes we sit and try to think A and how to get from A to B and how to get from B to C and how to make these bills get paid on this particular time and how to make this particular person respond to us the way that we need them to so that we can feel loved and how we can actually be deserving of the things that we feel in our heart, the dreams that were put in our heart, even though in this world, we don't feel like we deserve it, but I want you all to know that it's actually way more simple than that. All we need to do whenever we don't feel enough is to know two things. That God is not sitting there with a clipboard ticking off every time we screw up because he is a good, good Father. And the other thing you need to remember is that that good, good Father loves you unconditionally. So let those dreams run crazy in your heart and let them start walking out in your feet. He is a good, good Father, and you are loved by Him. That's all we need to worry about.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways, Lord, you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are.
Sing it if you feel it.
It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank y'all. We love y'all. All right. That's good stuff, wasn't it? Well, good to be with you guys today. Beautiful, beautiful passage in Ephesians. I want to start a little bit differently today. I want to read the first three words of the passage that we're in today. Everybody with me back there? Everybody good? All right. First three words in the passage that we read today in Ephesians 1:15 says this. For this reason. So today's passage starts out, for this reason. I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't start today with a quick recap of what reason Paul is talking about. So to name a few, I wrote down a few this morning, just thinking about what reason Paul is going to talk about a new reason, but also in his mind, if you remember, he's writing this letter as he is imprisoned for his faith. Again, a gentle reminder that Saul the persecutor now turned Paul the preacher. Nobody out here is too far gone. Amen? Amen, Miss Mitzi? Nobody is too far gone. I don't care what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. And so Paul, the preacher, is writing a letter to the church of Ephesus, and he starts today's passage for this reason. So he's speaking of what he's just written and what he's about to write. Here's what he's written about so far in just an introductory, long, overrun sentence. I am the king of that. I speak somewhat English, but I do not write it proficiently. If you went back to high school, or even in seminary, you could probably tell my grades reflect such, okay? I speak it the best I can, and I'm even worse at writing it. But as he sits down and he writes this, I just want to tell you some of the things I've sit down and I've looked at the reasons that Paul is talking about. This run-on sentence, this introduction. He's talked about the blessings in Christ who's given us every spiritual blessing. Anybody want to testify this morning that every spiritual blessing you have is given from above? You hadn't earned it, right? If you could earn it, you could also have it taken away based on your actions. I'm so glad I didn't earn it. It's grace, unmerited favor. Thank you, as Mitzi said. Amen. You, little old you,
I want you to say it this morning, not like my honor society students in high school that said, I state your name. I want you to say your name this morning. You, what's your name? I hear Roslyn, I hear Frank, right? All of you. Your name chosen before the foundation of the world. Before he created and spoke anything into existence. I know we're surrounded by buildings. Before he spoke existence into people who could create such structures that could stand. The clouds, the trees, the beach, the ocean, the lakes, the rivers, the mountains, all these things. Chose you before the foundation of that to adopt as sons and daughters. Paul says you are seen as holy and blameless. You may be like me and read that and used to shudder in fears like I'll never be holy and blameless, and I'd miss the picture. I somehow thought that the holy and blameless came from my actions once I knew Christ. Holy and blameless came at the finished work of Jesus Christ. I am holy and blameless. Hang out with me, you may not think so, but in the finished work of the cross, I am holy and blameless. Again, introductory run-on sentence. Some good stuff. Charlie, Michael, Freddie, y'all preacher, you know, man, right? Like this is the introduction, and he's gotten to 3 points that we could spend eternity talking about. Blessings from above, chosen, holy and blameless, adopted as sons and daughters in Jesus, and then blessed in the beloved. You are the beloved. Think about that. You are the beloved. Redeemed through his blood. You know what redeemed means, right? Bought back at a precious price. Bought through his blood. The forgiveness of your sins. And then if you were here a few weeks back, I'll give it to you one more time just because I want to find a reason to do this. He lavishes you in grace. That's that Ric Flair. Woo! Lavishes you, right? That's just that word. Styling and profiling and the limousine riding, kiss stealing, son of a gun. And if you know the rest of it, he was having a hard time keeping them gators down, right? Woo! Lavish in his grace. Sorry, I'm from McCalla, Alabama. You can take him out of McCalla, but obviously can't take the McCalla wrestling out of the boy. Lavishes his grace on us. And then he makes known not just to the church by his word, the mystery of his will, but has implanted the Holy Spirit in you and made known the mystery of his will concerning your life. That's even better. You got a plan. You got a purpose. And then you've obtained an inheritance. Isn't it great that we were chosen before the foundation of the world? And then Paul continues on and he says, and oh, by the way, not just as stepchildren, not just as sons that are so far, you got an inheritance waiting on you, not just, by the way, in the hereafter, but in the here, in the now. Abundant life. My buddy Jesse used to hang out with a band, Abundant Life, didn't you, Jesse? Back when we was keeping it real, in Jesus' name. Inside joke, keeping it real, Jesse Crow since 1992. I approve this message. And then if you ever doubt it, I've had this conversation with so many. I mean, how can I know? How can I know that I'm a believer? Because my brother, my sister, you have been sealed, stamped that nobody else. It's like the king's signet ring. Don't you dare try to open that. Been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that is also a guarantee of your inheritance. That's better than an old down payment on a car, right? A guarantee that it's paid for. Already paid for. What a monster run-on introductory passage. Paul starts today and says, for this reason. So he's got in his mind everything he's just said, and then he's about to say even more. For this reason, he writes. Let me read today's passage. We'll talk about it just a little bit. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. I got to read that again. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, you personally. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus, we need you. More than that, we want you. We want you to speak louder than any voice here. May that be louder than my voice. May it be louder than the voice of shame or accusation or not belonging. Or maybe those that I prayed with this morning even, or are prayed for, against anger, disagreement, strife, disunity. Any of those voices that are maybe still creeping up in our mind that we're not good enough, we don't belong, this doesn't apply to me, that Jesus, your voice from the cross that says it is finished, that rings through the ages, let that be the loudest voice that is heard today. And with that, Jesus, you change everything. So we give everything to you. We pray it in your name. Amen. I'm a little fired up this morning, y'all. Somebody said, good. You don't know about that. So for this reason. So all those introductory things, he says for this reason. And then he continues for these reasons to come. He's heard of their continuing faith. You see, this is a special church to Paul. Paul planted this church, much just like some of you were involved in the planting of the church at Southside, are involved in the continual growth and planting of the church at Southside. By the way, I'm going to speak something into existence that you maybe hadn't thought about. The church at Southside's planting days are not over. Everybody look at me. It's not over. Just starting. There's going to be other places that happen to be planted through the church at Southside. May not have our name. Some of them might. Some of them might be as goofy as where we used to be. The church at Southside, and it meets on the north side. Hey, we were directionally challenged. God's not done planning work out of this. You've been involved in places all over this globe that maybe you don't even know about, that God has used your story to inspire. But Paul planted this church of Ephesus about 15 to 20 years after the death of Jesus Christ. You can obviously say that Paul's life was marked. He was Saul the persecutor. I am going to kill anything that professes the way, to now Paul the preacher that says, oh, by the way, he's the only way. Talk about a 180. Don't tell me it can't happen out here. Your life can be changed in an instant. Jesus changes everything. So he plants the church at Ephesus, even at one time staying with them for 3 years, one of the longest times he stayed with any of the churches he planted. If you're interested, go to Acts 18, 19, and 20. You can read. And in Acts 20, if you look at it, he is leaving on a missionary journey, and it is one of the most heartfelt. If you just have ever been involved in something or a group of people you love and had to leave, and you're sharing that time of, hey, this season is closed and I'm moving on, it is, you can feel the words off the page. This, I'm leaving, and some of you I will never see again. Paul knew what was waiting for him. He's leaving this place, but he loves this church, and he wants all the followers and you to know who they are. And he continues that by writing this letter. He says, I continually give thanks for you. And he says this, that you may have wisdom and revelation of Jesus. I want you to listen how he prays for that. He says these words. I want you to have wisdom and revelation, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. You've heard that wording before. Some of us even remember the old song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Anybody ever heard that old song? Right? There's something about that, that open the eyes of your heart. And he says this, why? Why would Paul say that? Why would he say, I want your eyes of your heart to be open? And here's what he says, verse 18. I stopped and I read it again. I want you to listen to this. He says this, that you may know. Listen to the emphatic nature right there. I want you to hear that. That you may know. If you're texting somebody and you really want them to get it, you're hitting the all caps on this. That's what Paul is doing here. Here is why I want the eyes of your heart enlightened. Here is why we want the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you may know what is the hope into which you have been called. Church at Southside, or if you're listening, anyone that hears this later, that you may know the hope in which you have been called is exactly why this place as a gathering exists. That you may know beyond a shadow of a doubt the glorious hope that you have been called to. Let me break it down for you real simple. I'm going to give you some simple McCalla, Alabama reasoning. If there is a call, there must be an answer. Right? In fact, I don't even know who it is, but somebody was just calling me. You know I'm teaching the word right now. I felt my watch ringing. I didn't even look. Somebody was calling me. There was not an answer because I'm in more important detail right now, right? I'm with you. I'm doing the Lord's work. So there was a call, but I didn't answer. There's a call in your life, but my friend, you got to pick up. There's a glorious hope you've been called to, but you got to answer. How you answering? By the way, you answering one way or another. If you're doing like me and just ignoring the ring or you hit that red decline, that's an answer. You got to answer for the call, the hope that has been given to you. Now, I want to just take you kind of slowly, verse by verse. What is this hope that he's talking about? Well, one, he goes back to that inheritance, but he throws this out there. Not only does he lavish you with grace, forgiveness, and an inheritance, but the riches of his glorious inheritance. Think about that, the glorious inheritance. Then he says this. I'm kind of like my great theologian, Forrest Gump, that says, I am not a smart man, but I know what the word, he says love, but I'm going to throw immeasurable is. It means you can't measure it. It's deep, I know. I mean, that's why you come here, right? Deep stuff, deep. Immeasurable. In other words, Paul says, if I were to count them, kind of that wording of King David as he writes the psalm, it's like the grains of sand. If I were to count, like I couldn't even do it. Immeasurable. Immeasurable greatness of your power towards believers. Not that I hadn't been already, but can I ask permission for something this morning? Can I speak real with you? Freddie, can I speak real? Michael, Marvin, Mitzi. So many believers walk around in defeat because they don't realize the immeasurable power that is at their disposal. I want to read it to you. Don't take my word. What kind of immeasurable power? Think about it. The one according, this is what he's saying. If you want to know the immeasurable power, the one according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him three days off the cross in the tomb, out of the grave, not just passed out in a coma, Zequel-induced sleep, dead. The man was dead, placed in a tomb, and the power that raised him from the dead is the immeasurable power that you are called to. Raised him from the dead, and then not just raised him at the dead, but seated him at the right hand of the Father and gave him the name that is above all names, you've been given that same power. How in the world do you walk around defeated? It's because you're not accessing the power that's there in your inheritance. Your inheritance is not just waiting above. It's waiting for you to claim it right now. The king and his kingdom is at your disposal. Doesn't mean that he's going to do your will. You're going to submit to his. But everything he has, that's how inheritance works. It's yours. Means that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father is alive in you, should you have answered the call to the glorious hope that exists in you. If you have the inheritance, by the way, this is just a little tidbit. I write notes down when I'm preparing. I want you to know how I write this, and I do it on purpose for my understanding. I wrote the word King of Kings. You have an inheritance of the King of Kings. When I write the word King of Kings, the statement, I write King in real big letters. And then on purpose, even a little squiggly, you can come look. I write down real small kings, because kings of this earth pale in comparison to the King of those kings. My word tells me this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every great leader in history, myself, you, will bow at the name of Jesus. I'll ask the question I always do, why not now? You will one day. Why not now? He even says it this way. Above any power, name, and in Keith's version, or TBD, to be determined. Anything you could name, anybody you could name. Paul is saying that now or in the age to come. Church, here's where we come in. There is so much goodness in the letter of Ephesians about the body, the bride, the fullness of Christ, the adoption, the family. That's why when we prayed about where to go, this is where God laid on our hearts. And I believe this is why, for this season, to remind ourselves of the power of these words. He gave this power. And then he says he put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus, right? All power. It's under his feet. And he gave him his head over to all things, to the church. The church is not the building with the steeple. If you drive down the road, the church is me and you. The church is them, those who believe. Jesus is the head. You've heard me say this before, but I know my earthly term here and what some of you call me, but I hate to break it to you. Jesus is the pastor of this thing. I shared it this week, and I shared it with somebody this morning. Somebody introduced me. He's the pastor of this thing. I said, no, that's him. I said, let me tell you what I am. If you've ever been to a restaurant and you walk to the table and there's someone there and they are waiting to get your name, that's a host or a hostess. All I am is a host. I am here to tell you that your table is ready and waiting. Your seat has your name on it. And best part of all, hey, check's on it. It's paid. It's paid in full. Stamp paid in full. You're going to get to eat the finest of meals. I don't care where it is. And when you get that ticket, you ain't going to have to dine and dash. It's paid for. Forever. And it's your seat. It doesn't matter if you leave. It doesn't matter if you gorge yourself and throw up. It doesn't matter if you make a fool of yourself. Hey, come on now. It doesn't matter if you drink a little too much wine at the table. It doesn't matter. Does he want more for you? Of course. But the seat is paid for, and no matter how you leave, it is there waiting for you when you come back. The seat is there. I'm the host. My name is Keith. I'm the host, and I want you to know your table is ready and waiting. It is the best table we got. Your name is on there reserved. Reserved. Your name, and not just as a has-been or an afterthought, but by the way, your name, and then comma, son, comma, or daughter. Your name. Let it sink in. And in the Greek, I think it means this. I could give a rip about what you've done. I started to say something else, but you get it. Doesn't matter. It's paid for. In full. He is the head of the church, which we are his body. I got more good news for you, and I'll close with it. The last words. To the church, which is his body, he's the head, is the fullness of him who fills all in all. Everybody look this way. I want everybody, even in the alley back here, I want you to look this way. Thank you, brother. If you today, Sunday, June 13th, 2021, want to see the fullness of Jesus Christ, my brother, my sister, look around. It is the church of Jesus Christ in which he is truly the head of, no matter what we act like or say or how he has to wrangle us in, he is the head. We are the body. And if you want to see the fullness and glory and power on display of Jesus Christ, it is the church in action that gets that message. That is why where you're in Ephesians. You are the beautiful bride, the body, the beloved, the family of God, and Jesus paid for it. If you miss Ephesians, any more of it, that's the gist. You, Julian, you, my brother, Heath, he paid for. Amber back there, paid for. Everybody. Call is there for the glorious hope that is there. Would you answer? Man, I pray today would be the answer to yes for some that have said no or hit that red button for years and years and years. Or maybe just ignored it and say he'll quit calling. I don't think his heart's going to stop coming after you. Like the song says that Jesse sings so many times. It's not going to stop. He's in hot pursuit. Like Buford T. Justice. Anybody remember him? Hot pursuit, right? I love you guys, man. I feel what Paul is feeling when he writes to a people he loves, and he's saying, would you just get it? You just get how much you're loved, how much you cared for. That's why this place exists, for us just to keep shouting that message to one another. I'm shouting it today. I may need you to shout it to me next week. Let's just remember, we are his beloved. Let's pray. This morning, would you do me a favor as we pray? If you're here this morning and you just simply have never bowed the knee to that message, you've never accepted that grace, you don't have to make a big spectacle of it. In fact, in your heart, if you're already feeling led and you're saying yes in your heart, then I will say this is your first welcome. Thank you. You are welcome, and you are my brother and sister in Jesus' name. If you believe in Jesus being enough, if you want to share it with somebody, I'd love to hear it. That's you. And if you're already walking in that, may we walk just a little closer in the understanding that we have been lavished with his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, and we are his beloved. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything. Your gospel, the message that is in it, that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are the body, Jesus, in which you are the head, that we are a family that Jesus brings together. Look around this parking lot, everybody from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different just everything. But yet the common denominator is you, Jesus. You have brought us all together. You are growing this thing. And we just pray that we will shout that message till our dying day, that Jesus changes everything, that your grace, your mercy, your compassion rules all. That is what starts revival. That is what brings people together. We don't have to look far to see people apart. Jesus, you bring people together. And so we pray that over this crowd this morning. I pray that somebody today, if they needed to, for the first time says yes to you. If we already knew that message, that we just say yes to understanding that we are even more beloved than what we thought we were when we got here this morning. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're supposed to be